This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. The last live Monday show of 2018.
I'm so tired.
I am tired. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings, and I am back in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 17th, episode 2078, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
To you live from Santa's workshop at the North Pole, everyone's favorite elves, Jamie Jumperbottom and Glenn Scooter Pops.
Jen tickles herself.
I know she does.
Didn't we get those from like the elf name yourself?
Yes.
Elf
years ago. God, that years probably ago. 5 years ago or longer. I don't know.
That is
we've
so
been doing funny. This so long we can't even remember what we've done in the past.
I know it's true, but you know what, I'm back in Oklahoma, and I spent one day in Phoenix. I had a layover. The way that I arranged my flights, I got to have a layover Thursday night, and I went to brunch with my girlfriends to my favorite restaurant, and then I came home to Oklahoma.
Well, you got a tiny break.
I'm not getting you. That it was lovely. But then I came home, so Chad was watching the farm. One day we had sideways rain. He called me. He's out in the pasture. It was Thursday. He's like, "What blanket does Zara wear?" And I'm like, "You're the best." I mean, aside from the fact that I wrote all their names on it, and it's like clearly obvious. But whatever. You are standing on a rainstorm.
Do you understand how much us horse husbands hate blankets?
Those
freaking straps that go everywhere.
That's his least favorite thing of horse ownership, I think, is the blankets. But I said, Chad, you don't understand. This is so much less work. They're standing in a field. I walk out. I toss hay. They have a roll bale or whatever it's called. And then you toss hay in the morning and afternoons. And then you blanket them at night. And they're standing there eating. I was like, this is so much easier. There's no stalls to muck. He goes, let me tell you something. Loose horses in a field and trying to blanket them is my nightmare.
Yes. I agree. Totally.
He was like, that's so much more work. Are you kidding me? So he's like, I'd rather put mug stalls every day than blanket a horse that's loose in the field.
Because every freaking blanket has straps that go to different places. And then you put the straps and you're supposed to wind the back leg straps have to go like this and that. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you what, since living here, I've purchased a weather beta for three of my horses, and all the weather betas are different sizes, but they're the exact same color.
Oh, no!
Yeah, so I had to like get a little portion of weather beta up front. I had to write all their names with Sharpie on it, and inside where it says the name Sharpie. I'm just trying to very quickly let him be able to distinguish who's is whose. But I'm back, and I come in the kitchen. I missed Chad, so he flew out as I was flying in. So we missed each other. Actually, we were both in the airport at Phoenix, but I was in the plane, and he calls me. They close the door, and I'm in the plane, and he calls me. He's like, I'm at gate B18. I was like, I'm at B20, but I'm currently in a plane with the door closed. So we haven't seen each other in forever. But he goes, I get home, and Luke is at the kitchen. I'm like, buddy, I missed you so much. Did you miss me? Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to. Let me tell you right now. Did you miss me, buddy? Well, I guess we don't get to have guys' night anymore. That is the answer from my child.
The man cave is closed.
Guys' night means they had pizza and they drank chocolate milk.
Midnight.
Did not sleep. Yeah. They just played, watched TV, like hung out. Yeah, exactly. There was no structure. I'm sure he was late to school every day. He was exhausted, but it doesn't matter. Guys' night.
You know, I grew up with a family of four boys and we loved mom, but dad was our buddy.
Yeah, that seems to be the way that it's working right now. Great. Jen, what is coming up on today's show? Great. Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, after the adventures of, they're going to make you into a Hallmark movie. Let's just say that. Sherry Grinska is going to stop by, and you'll remember her. She's from Pro Barn Management, and she's going to chat a little bit about holiday barn parties. Woohoo! And then following close on the heels, the Wacky World of Horse Nation has some more holiday-themed stuff with holiday-inspired equestrian-fueled fun and games. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
Oh, well, she left herself out of this. And later on in the show, you've all been asking, we'll find out how Jennifer did at her first 25-mile endurance ride. So that's coming up later in the show as well. Was she that girl? We'll find out coming up. In the meantime, it's Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie goes out to 9 equine rescue groups that have received, this happens every year, $225,000 from the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, ASPCA. If you remember, right, we talk about this every year, they donate a bunch of money to various equine rescues, and there's some familiar names on the list this year. Cantor, of course, we're all familiar with. Friends of Ferdinand, Indiana, don't know that one. Kentucky Equine Humane Center, we know. Mid-Atlantic Horse Rescue out of Maryland, know them too. New Vocations, racehorse adoption program. Of course, they used to come on our show all the time. Rerun, the Exceller. I can never say
Exceller
that word.
Exceller Fund. Thank you. I donate to that every Christmas.
I can't say the word. And Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, we know very well too. So there's a bunch of good groups getting some money this year from the ASPCA. So that's who my Daily Winnie is for all the hard work they do all year long, rescuing horses and finding new homes for them.
My Daily Winnie goes out to, oh my gosh, I am so, so excited about the new movie coming out called Mustang. We have the trailer. Let's see if I can make it through it.
Okay, here we go.
Do you think riding horses can change anything?
I'm not who I used to be.
You've been in isolation. What do you think about that?
I'm not good with people.
Dad.
Why are you here?
I just need you to sign this.
How long have you been in prison?
12 years.
And how long from the thought of the crime to the actual crime?
Split second.
That's a dangerous animal. If you can stay in there for more than 5 seconds, you're in the program.
Nice booze.
The whole purpose is to learn how to break these wild horses. And ultimately, our rehabilitation. You ready?
I step into an avalanche.
You must be a cowboy, no time.
It covered up my soul.
Hang in there with him. Look, stop it!
Really not that bad for a first time.
Our goal is to experience empathy.
That's it, easy.
And to be open to our faults.
If you want to control your horse, first you got to control yourself.
I've worked with horses a long time. Some you can break, and some you can't.
Thank you.
was a kid and you left me alone.
It was an accident.
You think riding horses can change anything?
I'm not who I used to be.
I'm listening.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
It's called the Mustang. That's the official. By the way, Bruce Dern, this was, you know, he has been in so much stuff, but God, he must be 1,000 years old now. I think we were watching him in the 60s.
Yeah, he's been around a long time, done a lot of Westerns. But what this movie is about is, and they filmed it in Carson City. And they used a lot of the same people, and they
that's
modeled
where you got
it.
Your horses from Carson City.
Yeah,
right?
They modeled it after the prison program in Carson City, which is where Zeus and Thor came from. You know, it's funny, they talk about breaking the horses a lot in this, and Hank, the guy who's actually in charge, kind of the Bruce Dern, the real life person that Bruce Dern is, I would assume, modeled after. They don't actually break the. They don't use ropes. They're not allowed to rope the horses. They're not allowed to tie the horses. It has to be a gentling process. But what you hear in this preview is just how much training wild horses and rehabilitating inmates is so similar, because it's true. You can't break your horse if you're broken yourself. You know, you have to really. And I learned, I think, so much of that with Monty is like controlling my own self to be able to better train the horses and my own emotions. And I just had a listener, Jill, message me about how to do, you know, the proper join up. She's like, have you ever had one fail? And heck yeah, I've had one fail because I wasn't in the right space. And I didn't provide the right learning opportunity and the learning place for my horse. So you have to look at who you are. And that's why I loved it. I cried in the preview, like watching it several times, because there's a part where they show the horse being pinned on the ground and the prisoners being pinned on the ground, and it goes cuts back to back and forth. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about this movie. I think, like, when War Horse came out, I was like, I'm bringing a box of tissues because I know how this is going to go. Same, but I'm going to bring two boxes for this one.
I thought about that movie the other day. I want to see that again soon, too.
It's on all the time right now because of Christmas. They somehow think it's a Christmas movie. Oh, my God, when they were going to shoot Joey. And I was like, no, don't shoot Joey. And then they got the whistle and all that. Yes, it's a beautiful movie. But very similar feeling that I had going into watching that one as going into watching this one. And same with Seabiscuit, is you know that it's not the actual story. It's just the fact that you're watching it on the big screen and it means so much to you personally. So like Seabiscuit, I cried.
This is a Robert Redford movie too. So we're talking, you know, this is big time.
This is big time. And I did a couple of the people that I've dealt with in Carson City are in the movie. They have appearances in the movie. Yeah. So we should try to talk to them. One of the girls that works with the BLM, one of the girls that works for the prison, we have that little Northern Nevada Correctional Center Facebook page where we talk about our Mustangs that we got from there. And, oh, everybody's very excited about this film. So.
Well, I just looked it up, and it looks like it's going to be at the Sundance Film Festival, and then it's going to hit theaters March of 2019.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait that long. So, where's Sundance? I'm heading to Sundance.
So March of 2019 is going to, and this is going to be one I think we want to see in the theaters. Now, should we start to pull in the auditor page now about how many fake Winnies are going to be in the movie?
Oh, I can't.
By the way, I counted two in the trailer.
Well, it's funny because Mustangs are typically actually very, very quiet. Mustangs don't really whinny.
Yeah, because you're announcing to the world, I'm here to eat. Come and get me.
Hey, coyotes. Hello, I'm right here. Yeah, they don't actually whinny. I don't think I have ever heard. I know I never heard Thor whinny, but by the time I would come out there to feed him, he would like very quietly nicker. And I have heard Zeus whinny once, but yeah.
That's when he couldn't get the gate open. He was pissed.
Exactly. I can't get out. Give me my own feed.
Isn't that interesting, though, that you say that the greyhounds, of course, the other racing, the racing version of the dogs, they don't bark.
really.
Yeah, I mean, most of, but all of them we had don't bark. I mean, we've heard probably Glory bark twice in the whole time we've had her. So isn't that
Chad's
interesting?
Chad's going to want one of those. Where can we get that?
Well, tell us, you had an interesting experience at Monty's this last time because you were dealing with kids in an after-school program, and we talked about it a little bit last Wednesday, and you weren't on Friday. So how did it round out?
Well, it was weird. It was like every day was 2 days because I spent from morning until till after lunch with Monty working on this Mustang Diego, and I actually talked... Okay, this is really cool. I got to do, Debbie interviewed Monty and I for her show, which was really cool. So it'll be out on the Horsemanship Radio. We talk a little bit about being there together. But it was really, really awesome to have that kind of work to do with him. I mean, my gosh, he's amazing. So the next part was, yes, working with children that were at-risk youth. So I, you know, without going into too much detail, these kids have a lot of struggles. And they, they were at risk youth. They really needed somebody to trust them and for them to be able to trust somebody, which is why they came to this program. So lead up, after doing it, now I can explain what it is a little bit better. You're taking children and teaching them join up because, and we do this with the military clinics as well. And it was very similar, you know,
and they did it in the prison that we just had the trailer for.
Yeah. So you take the horses and you take the children and you teach them the concepts of join up, and then you teach them how to do it. And after you teach them how the concepts and then you teach them how to do it, well, then by God, you get in there with the horse. So I was with every one of the kids, kind of hook arms with them. And I was in there teaching them to walk, move this way, go, 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 turn, you know, how to turn the horses, how to drive the horses, how to send them away at the initial beginning of it, and then how to ask the horse to come. And that's the thing about join up is if you do it right, it will work. Every horse has a different mechanism for it. You know, like some horses, I find that really abused horses don't come off the wall as quickly to you, but they join up just as well if you kind of like arc back and forth in front of them and continue to invite them. So there's horses like that. There's horses that ping right up the wall up to you. And then there's the horses like that come right to you and then they walk by and walk to the gate. So we used a variety of horses. That one was a racehorse. Now, you and I would see this racehorse and go, man, this horse is like 100. He's like 17 hands. He's kind of crippled. You know, he's 100 years old. He's skinny. His coat looks like a mess, but he was a champion racehorse. So to these children, what we tell them, or what I decided to tell them, was that this is a super champion racehorse who like won well over $1 million, you know, won millions of dollars. It's all about the presentation. So guys, who wants to do, he's super big, but he's a horse that's won over millions of dollars and he's going to do join up. And of course, then you bring this old ambling skinny 17 hand horse in and they see, you know, they see Secretariat.
Yep.
And so they get to do a join up with Secretariat basically. So that was one of the horses. The other one was a mini, and this mini was incredibly abused. And a lot of these kids have had similar experiences as some of these horses. So, you know, this mini that was abused, I talked to the children. I'm like, hey, I need somebody to help me train this mini because he doesn't trust people. And I need somebody to help me teach him to trust people. So there was a couple that used him. Now these horses I've done join ups with all of them and I tested everybody out just to see kind of what different things each horse may have. And then there was a horse that, Bo's an old quarter horse. He used to be a reigning horse. Well, he was a world champion reigning horse. And now he's like 20. And he does join up with his eyes closed. He's a little school horse out there, but he was great. And then there was a horse that we used to lead. I set up an obstacle course for the kids because a lot of the what they need is just that connection with a horse, with an animal, something bigger, something kind of scary that they learn to connect with. And I used him in the leading because in the join up portion, when you go to unclip him and send him away, you can't even get your hand up the lead rope to unclip because he knows the join up so well that he it's like turning a fresh horse out in the pasture. Bing, he's gone. And so when you're holding onto the rope, you can't it's a wrestling match. So anyway, I have all these kids, and then there's 12 kids and they're doing join ups with the champion $1 million winning racehorse, the super abused Mini, and they're helping me train him. And then the quarter horse, who's a champion reigning horse. And I get all these join ups with all these kids done. And it's just amazing. But there was one child who has a story to end all stories. And his mom came with him. He's had a lot of recently some really terrible stuff happen around him. And so his mom brought him. He's not even a part of the after school program, but they really wanted to include him in on this. And he didn't smile. He just very thin, looked very kind of sad. Well, he didn't want to do the 17 hand racehorse and he didn't want to do a join up with the Mini, but he had spent a lot of time with this fairly great leading horse over on the obstacle course. And they were learning to steer and back them on, turn them around and go over a jump. And he said at the end, he was the last one to go. And he's like, "Can I do Sancho?" I'm like, "Hey, that's like the hardest horse on the farm to do a join up with. You don't want to do Sancho." I do. And Debbie was like, "You can do it." And so we get Sancho in the middle of the round pen. And I'm like going over the whole thing with him. Like, dude, this horse is wild. This horse is wild. Now he's a Peruvian Paso and he's not actually wild, but he's just done so many join ups that he gets it. He understands what's going to happen and when, and can be very difficult because he gets a little fresh.
I'm not doing this again.
2 days he's been taking kids, like letting him walk him and lead him around. So not only is he gets it, he's also got a lot of pent up energy and he's been very good over in the leading portion, but you could tell they brought him in and he's breathing a little fire. So I've got this boy and me and this Peruvian Paso who's like flying a kite. Okay. Like, "You sure? You sure you want to do this? This is the wild." Like, everybody's watching. Everybody's standing up above the round pen. I'm like, this guy has chosen the hardest horse on the farm. Now, mind you, this is the saddest and most disconnected child in the whole program. And all right, buddy, let's get it done. So we come in, they close the round pen door, and we take the horse to the middle. And usually you do this little kind of orientation. Nope, we're not going to do that. He understands all of that. We're just going to try to unclip the lead rope because, and so I've got the horse, my hand is up by the clip. I've got him holding the end of the rope and I'm holding the rope too. And I go to unclip and he rears up and runs backwards, snorting, And obviously little boy is like, "What?" And I could see his mama up there like bug eyed, So I bring him back. I'm like, "Come on, let's try again. And I liberate my hand halfway up that lead rope towards the clip. He rears up and he's running sideways and he's going crazy. And this little boy is holding onto the rope. I'm holding onto the rope. The mom is like jaw dropped and bug eyed at this point. I kind of walk the horse in a little bit of a circle just to kind of unstick his feet. And I get the lead rope undone. And as soon as he realizes he's gone, bam, he is out on the wall and he is galloping and bucking and farting. And this is the horse that just moments ago, children were leading around through an obstacle course. he was pent up, but he was so good for that. But he is not good for the join up. So I'm like, "Come on, buddy, we got to get to work." So we basically just had to stand in the round pen and walk while he is galloping his just little feet into the ground, leaving a trail, just galloping and bucking. And he goes his 4 or 5 laps. And I'm like, "All right, man, we got to turn him. what we're going to do is we're going to, when we hit 12 o'clock, there's a little clock in the back. We're going to head over towards two. We're going to go. We got to move it, you know, until like, boom, we walk. That horse turns on a dime, spins, bucks, runs around, you know. And at this point, the horse is starting to slow down a little bit, but still like really moving, you know, but you can tell we're winding down his clock.
Was it using the tolt at the whole time or was it actually jogging?
Oh, he was doing that little knee, kind of between the canter and that weird trot. So it's like trantering kind of, but like trolloping, kind of trotting, galloping, cantering. And so he's going around the other way. And this little boy, I'm like, just breathe, buddy. Just breathe, because it's a lot of it is just how you breathe and like keeping your shoulders square and your eyes on eyes that keeps them out there. And it's a lot about teaching these kids their body position and where their energy should be going and how they have to, you know, so many of them look at the ground, eyes on eye, keep your eyes on that horse's eyes. That's how you keep them out and shoulders back and be marched towards them, you know, and go, go, go. Well, this horse is still going around way. I'm like, buddy, we got to turn him again. And so we head towards, 9 o'clock and cut the horse off and he wheels and he's going the other way. And the third lap around in the join up is where you want to start to look for the communication. Kids, what are we looking for? Licking and chewing, ear, smaller circle and dropping the head. Yes. Good job, guys. Okay. Now, buddy, just take a deep breath. Breathe and let's start to let him communicate. And half the time they slow down to a walk and this horse slows down to a trot. And we see the ear on us and we see the licking and chewing. And then we see the smaller circle and then we see the head drop. And I'm like, you ready? We're going to ask him for join up. Now he's pretty fired up and his adrenaline is really high. So we've really got to take a deep breath. And then we're going to turn at 12 o'clock, walk to the middle of the pen. Walk away. We're going to turn in front of him and walk away. And we turn in front of him and walk away. This horse could not have come faster up to this little boy and put his nose on this little boy's shoulder. This most amazingly perfect join up. And these are children that nobody trusts. They have learned to not trust anybody. And that's why this program is so powerful, because there's a lot of kind of classroom talking and trust exercises that happen, but this is the pinnacle of the moment. And that horse came right up to him and stopped right in front of him and put his forehead right on that little boy's shoulder. And I cannot describe, first of all, I start crying, like quietly, but tears are coming out of my eyes and I look at that boy and he is smiling ear to ear because I talk to them. I'm like, oh my gosh, the horse came right up to you. I can't believe it. This is amazing. He's right. I cannot believe this is the hardest horse. It's the most wild horse on the farm. And he's chosen to come up to you and trust you. So he turns around and gives him a rub on the forehead and the places, you could hear a pin drop in that round pin. All these children are completely quiet. And I look over at his mom and his mom is sobbing because nobody has got, I mean, it's just been really hard for them for a really long time. And it was just one of those things. And at the start of this program, they asked me to come and do it. And Debbie asked me to come because they didn't really have anybody, but I wasn't really into it, working with kids and all this stuff. And I've been teaching kids for years. This is different. It's teaching kids with a purpose. And I'm not kidding you. I was completely affected by it. I loved it. And I want to do that program here in Oklahoma. Apparently depression rates are very high in Oklahoma. We are like 40. We're trying to win all the competitions with obesity and depression and suicide and all these horrible things that people have, here in Oklahoma. And I just realized that maybe there's a reason for me going to do that and for me coming here, because it was really a beautiful thing to help all of these people. So all these kids. So that was my experience and I'm so happy to have done it and I'm happy to have been there and I'm excited to do it in the future.
Well told too. Well told. We have me crying over here.
I lived it, man. It's easy to tell the story when you were there. Well, it was amazing.
Well, before we get to our first guest, we're not going to do a normal Omega Alpha ad today. I just wanted to tell everybody, you know, in the podcasting world, it's unheard of. I mean, really, in the radio world, you can attest to this. It's unheard of to have a sponsor that starts with you when you start a show and 8, going on 9 years later is still with you every week. In radio, that doesn't happen. Let alone podcasting, it definitely doesn't happen. And Omega Alpha is one of those sponsors. They've been with us since the beginning. The reason they stay with us is because you guys try their products. And that's all we ask, is that when you're looking for something for your horse is a little off or whatever the reason is, or your horse isn't off and you just want a shinier coat, or they're having some tummy issues, whatever the reason is, we want you to take a look at Omega Alpha first. They have the highest quality natural ingredients from trusted sources around the world. Dr. Chang's always flying around the world to find these natural ingredients, these plants and these herbs and the things they put into Omega Alpha products. They're very well researched. They're tested up there in Canada in their laboratories up there. They spend a lot of time on that. And the products really do work. So next time, if you enjoy our show, next time you're looking at a situation where you need something for your horse or you want to take a look at something for your horse's health, we ask you to support one of our sponsors. They are here supporting us, which in turn supports you, provides the entertainment and the information that we bring. So Omega Alpha is one of those. We want to thank Omega Alpha and wish everybody there a happy holidays up there in Canada. It's OmegaAlpha.com. And I also wanted to mention Wednesday is going to be a call-in show. We do it every year. It's the last live show of the year for us here on Horses in the Morning. We'll have a bunch of recorded ones for you after that. But it's our last live show, and there'll be no guests. It's just Jamie and I, and I don't know if Jennifer's going to be here, but Jamie will be here, maybe Jennifer, and we're just going to take calls, and we're just going to hang out. We're also going to answer the questions that we would have asked if we had had an all-host episode, which fell through. So we're
sorry.
That wasn't all your fault. We just couldn't get it together this year. So we're going to answer the all-host questions that the auditors asked, and we're going to do those, and we want you to call.
It could be the shortest show of all time, or we'd appreciate it if you all would call.
Last time, though, I mean, we had to go long. We had so many calls. So, and you can call about anything you want to wish us a happy holidays. We would love to hear what was your favorite episode or guest for the year. So if you want to call in and say, hey, look, I really like this, I really like that show you did, or I really like that guest, if it's Radiothon, we don't care. Just give us a call Wednesday starting at 10 o'clock Eastern. We'll have the phone lines open, and we'll post all of that on our Facebook page. And you can always find the phone number at horsesinthemorning.com. So that's coming up on Wednesday. Well, we have a guest returning to us that's been here before. Her name is Sherry. She is with Pro Barn Management. And I said, you know, I want a guest on today. We don't want to talk about anything too serious. It's our last couple of episodes here. We're all tired, and we're all ready for a break. So let's just talk about something fun and silly. And Sherry decided to join us. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas to you, too. You know, we wanted to do something fun today, and we thought talking about, because we've all had boarding barns in the past, or training barns in the past. So there, and the holidays are always interesting because, well, they're just interesting at boarding barns. And sometimes they cause controversy, depending on the rules of the barn. We saw a bunch of this last year. But, you know, and we also have talked to a lot of professional riders, Jamie and I have, in the last month, who have talked about the holidays and talk about how they let all their staff go and they do all the work. So when you're in a boarding situation, it's a different thing when it comes to the holidays, isn't it, Sherry?
It is. It's it never ends. The horses still need to be fed on Christmas Day, and the water needs to be done. And so it's Christmas Day, and at least at our barn in Neenah, Wisconsin, my husband and I do all the chores still. I go to a lot of different boarding stables for consulting, and they all do it a little different depending on the holiday. But I got to tell you, I love going out in the barn on Christmas morning in the morning. My kids are in the house waiting for us to get back in. But there is always something magical about being out there Christmas morning and feeding the horses.
You know,
it's awesome.
And you know what I think part of that is, and we felt the same way. We lived in Pennsylvania, especially when we had 20 some horses in the barn. It was, I don't know, there's something about Christmas morning where the air is stiller. There's not less traffic. If you live, we lived along a road, so there was less traffic, like no traffic. Mm-hmm. And everything was just quiet. It just seemed quieter and more peaceful that morning.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. There's a calmness in the air. We don't turn out our clients' horses on that holiday because it gives us more time to spend as a family. So the horses are in their stalls. We feed them, we water them. And usually I'll turn the radio on, so I'll have Christmas music going, and my husband and I are working along, and it's early in the morning when we do it. But there is a calmness in the air, and it only comes that one morning a year.
That is true. And, you know, you're in Wisconsin, so you got 12 feet of snow anyway by that point, so you're dealing with that too. So what, Jamie, do you remember when you had a barn? Did you go out, or when you were boarding, you know, when you lived in Georgia, where did you go out on Christmas Day to see your horse?
I got to tell you, heck yeah, man. When I lived in Atlanta, my horse was 35 miles away, one way. So to go out on Christmas, when you live in Atlanta and you drive outside the city, it was like the best day ever because there was no traffic, no cars on the road, no traffic. I'd make it there in record time. It was awesome. And then you're the only one there. So I always did. I loved going out for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I have to do the work because I have my own barn, my own horses in the back. But yeah, there is something really calm and quiet about Christmas morning with your horses. Now, what is not calm and quiet is the myriad of barn parties that have led up to, to this. And that's what I like the best is the barn parties, because it's different than a work party. If you're the one who gets really drunk and it turns into like the lampshade award and is singing at the top of your lungs while swigging eggnog with rum in it, you're not going to get fired. You're just the fun barn guy.
Well, you know, it's funny because we've always done a Christmas party after Christmas because it's so busy up until Christmas, especially with trying to just get my own personal stuff done along with everything else. And so we have always done our Christmas party in January. And that kind of is a nice winter break for because the winters are so awful here and so long. And so that kind of gives us something to look forward to afterwards. But it is kind of cool. Christmas Day, we do have people that come out and ride their horse, and we have kids that come out with the new tack. And we have even experienced, I'm sure everybody has read the book or heard the story of the little girl that was surprised with a pony on Christmas morning.
Right.
We actually did have that happen here a few years ago with a little girl and her horse, and her parents brought her out on Christmas, and the horse had a ribbon around his neck.
Awesome.
And so we got to actually witness that firsthand, which we all knew about ahead of time. So we all were there waiting to see her face. And of course, she's bawling, and then everybody else is bawling. You know, it's kind of cool. It is kind of cool to see it live.
Yeah, that would be. And you said something interesting, that this is the controversy part that the auditors brought. One of the auditors last year brought it up in the Facebook room that their barn announced that nobody was allowed to come out on Christmas. They were closed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want anybody out on Christmas. And boy, a tough one.
Go on.
That's a tough one. I mean,
yeah, there are. I mean, I've worked with barns that they do that. I mean, I've worked with barns and we've talked through what their reasoning was behind that. And everybody has their own idea of it. We have always been open on every holiday. We're open every day of the year. And that's okay. I don't mind that at all. I just want them to know that we are gone part of that day, and the work is going to be real minimal, and we don't turn horses out. If they want to turn their horses outside for the day, they can do that and then bring them back in. But yeah, there are barns that close up. And the thing about it is you got all these people that go out and buy Christmas gifts for their horses or tack and stuff. So to some of them, it's a little difficult. But we're always open.
Well, you know, I think we were always open too. And I used to get, as a horse husband, if Jennifer made us clean the stalls that morning, that pissed me off. That would, I was just like, can't we get one day without cleaning the stalls, please?
I'd be like, I'm not leaving them in. Everybody's getting turned out. Y'all are fending for yourself. I'm not cleaning my stalls.
Well, and we don't clean the stalls either. And a lot of people come out and clean their stalls. My own horses, I don't even clean their stalls. It's just, it's easier now, though. I have to say, when we first opened up many years ago, my kids were a little, so it was hard for them being, you know, 4 and 6, you know.
I would have to wait for you guys.
Early young years. Yeah. They have to wait for us to come back in, and they're waiting, and I'm praying the presents aren't ripped open. You know, while they're waiting for us to do chores. And but now they're much older, and it's great because this year, you know, they're 19 and 21, and they made all the Christmas cookies. They've done some shopping for me. So life is pretty easy.
That just gets easier as they get older. It's the truth.
And when you have teenagers, that's the one day of the year that they actually don't mind being around their family. For the most part.
Depends.
Me.
That's kind of funny.
So,
but it is a great time of year. That and New Year's is fun, too. New Year's is a really super fun time of year.
So, Sherry, I assume that you do not ride on Christmas Day.
I don't know. I don't ride. I don't have time to ride right now. It seems like everyone always asks, when are you going to ride? And I honestly, to be honest with you, I haven't ridden, gosh, over a year. But I'm still really happy and content just being out in the barn. And I'm busy doing other stuff right now with books and consulting. And that is super fun. But a lot of people come out and ride. We have people that really love to have a Christmas ride. They just, it's kind of cool. It kind of ends their Christmas day on a really positive note. I wish we could say we had better weather here, though. Instead of all the snow this year, we have a lot of ice.
Yeah, that's not, well, you can't, it's hard to ride on ice.
Too much riding outside. Yeah. We're waiting for a lot of snow, and then they can get outside and ride.
Jamie, do you ride on Christmas Day?
I'm sorry. Riding is just my favorite thing. So if I can and I have time, then I will. I have a kid now, so I don't know how my day is going to go now that he's a little older.
And you're in a new place too, so that's all new too.
I'm in a new place. You know what we're going to do for Christmas this year is Lucas tonight, because Chad's going to be gone. We're not going to see him on Christmas Day for probably years, because he's an airline pilot. Yeah. And people fly on Christmas. So somebody's got to pilot the bus.
And he's low man on the totem pole. So
he's got that shift. So, we are actually just going to go and volunteer at one of the Feed the Hungry places, and Luke's and I are going to serve food. So that's what we're going to do.
That's awesome.
I wanted him to see what the world is like, you know. Not everybody has everything that we have. So we wanted to go and help somebody else. So that's our plan. I don't know if my in-laws are cool with it, but everybody keeps going, you coming over at 10? I'm like, nope. Well, what do you mean? Chad's not here. What are you going to do? We're going to go somewhere else. We're going to do some other things. So,
and unfortunately, they don't listen to the show.
And you know, I also, it's kind of worth noting too, that, for a lot of people who get into the boarding business as a barn owner or a barn manager, I think you go through a journey, because honestly, the first few Christmases were difficult when we had to leave family get-togethers to get back home, put our barn clothes back on, and
that's
do chores.
Right. Especially if you have to drive a distance to get to them.
Exactly. Yeah. We had to drive over an hour to my husband's mother's house, and then we would have to always leave early, which my kids were disappointed because we had to come home to do the chores.
Yeah.
And there, it can be a little bit lonely at that point. You start to really feel like, wow, we're missing stuff. And then I have to always remember that there are a lot of people that work on the holidays all over, the hospitals, the police. You know, we're not the only ones, but when you're back at the barn and you're by yourself and you've left your family, it's sometimes you have to work through all that and get to a point where you feel comfortable and at peace with it. And it's with little kids, it can be a little bit harder.
Well,
That's true. Because I mean, we got invited to spend the night at my brother-in-law's house on Christmas Eve night, you know, wake up with this Christmas morning. I'm like, well, see, the 3 dogs and the 8 horses would probably start to miss us after a while, but it's just part of it.
Exactly. Yeah, it is part of it.
Did we lose her? Are you there, Jamie?
So now we always try to have Christmas Eve over here at our house with friends. And we just kind of do an open door policy and people can come over here because it's easier for us. Since we are working Christmas Eve and doing chores, and then they can just come over and hang out at our house Christmas Eve, which is always fun.
Well, where can people find you and what you do?
Well, they can find me at probarnmanagement.com. I am a young and growing business. I do barn consulting, mentoring. I absolutely have a passion for helping other people get their barns up and going and helping them work through the issues they're having. I also have a passion for helping women work through the journey that they're going through, being a wife, a mother, a businesswoman, all that, and helping them in an encouraging way grow. And so it's probarnmanagement.com, and I do blogs there every week, and I hope people will find us.
Very good. Well, Sherry, you have a wonderful holiday with the horses and the family this year, and we'll hope that the ice melts and you get a dusting of snow.
Thank you. Thank you. And Merry Christmas to you all, too. All right. Thank you. And we'll see you next year.
All right. Thanks, Sherry.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're going to hear from one of our sponsors, Horseware. And then Jennifer is going to tell the tale of her first attempt at a 25-mile endurance
ride. Oh, my
ride.
God, girl. It's crazy. Can't wait.
And I would do the Horseware ad if I could find the Horseware ad.
Oh, no. Come on.
It's one of those days. It is. Here we go. Sorry.
In the world of horse racing and elite equestrian sports, it's all about how to prepare and repair. Ice5 is a truly portable and highly efficient circulation therapy system for your horse. Before activity, prepare to prevent damage by using the Ice5's vibration pads. Repair after the event by using the unique combination of cold packs and vibration to minimize swelling and encourage blood flow. And because it's battery powered, Ice5 is truly portable. The essential and affordable tool to prepare and repair. Ice5.
You can find out more details about Ice Vibe at ice-vibe.com or horseware.com, or ask your local tack shop or online supplier for more information about Ice Vibe circulation therapy from Horseware. And tomorrow we will be back with the Certified Horsemanship Association show. She is doing her annual pet peeves episode. So that's always a lot of fun. She's going to have some guests on, and we're going to be talking about her pet peeves. So that we do once a year with the Certified Horsemanship show. That's coming up tomorrow. All right, Jennifer. Everybody was so excited to hear about your endurance race. You talked about it with Karen last week. We talked about it on Friday.
I did.
Yes.
Very exciting stuff. So I'm going to prerequisite this story with, well, no, I'm going to put that at the end. I just changed my mind. I'm going to put it at the end. This was our first attempt at a 25, having done two introductory rides, which are between 10 and 12 miles each, and did them with flying colors. And Nigel came back fresh as a daisy. Not tired at all. It's like, we just need to do a longer ride. We're really going to get into this. Woohoo! So we head on over to Gothy Forest, which is at the Black Prong. Settle in. Everything's going smoothly. It's only a 20-minute drive over there. Everything's working great. Camp out Saturday night to ride Sunday morning. They had to shift the ride days one day over because they had lightning storms and all sorts of ugly weather on Friday. Get there. Everything's working great. 8:30 rolls around. 8:30 is the start time for our endurance ride. Endurance rides have what they call a mass start or something like that. But everybody in the division starts at the same time. So if there are 5 people in your class or 26 people in your class, you all start at the same time. And it's an endurance race. Fastest time wins, providing that you come back sound and healthy. So I got up there and I'm wandering around the start line going, wow, there's hardly anybody up here. There's 26 riders in our group, but there's hardly anybody here. And I see off in the distance, easily a dozen or more riders milling about. I'm going, oh, you know what? They're going to turtle. They're going to go as slow as they can. So they're going to wait for all the start riders to go out so that they can start gently and quietly. So I'll just go out with the early riders because Nigel is by nature
kind of fast. So I'm wandering around. 3, 2, they actually count it down. It's going to take 6 hours, but they count it down. 3, 2, 1, go. So I go to walk through the start line, and the dozen or so riders that are off in the distance milling about take off at a run right in front of us. Like, really? That's not the start line over there. And I asked the starter, I said, don't they have to go through the start line? She said, well, not really.
It's a little loosey-goosey at endurance.
Yeah. So my likes to, you know, Nigel doesn't just need to pass everybody in front of him. He doesn't just need to be in front. He needs to pass everybody in front of him and leave them in the freaking dust. That's the way he is. So there they go. Joyous start. So we cantered sideways until those horses all got out of sight. And we settled down a little bit. And in the first half an hour of the course, we discovered that there's a lot of water. We had just had a foot of rain the day before.
Literally, on Friday, it rained 12 to 13 inches.
Yeah. We had a foot of rain.
Day.
Wow.
It did. I emptied our 5-inch rain gauge 2 times, and there was three inches after that. So we had 13 inches of rain that we know about.
Yeah. So we get out there on the course, and they had told us before at the ride meeting, there's going to be a lot of water on the course. You're going to want to go slow through the water because there's holes, like big holes in the water. And they weren't kidding. It was more water than not. We could go maybe 50 yards at a time before we get to water that was knee deep or better, and we had to come back to a walk. So, and you can't see through the water, so you can't see what you're going through because the water is black.
Think forest, swampy Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's the Everglades. Yeah. The Everglades have come to California. Yeah. And during those first 30 minutes or so, while Nigel's still pretty high and mighty because he can't trot, he's like, well, why do I have to keep coming back to a walk? Because I don't want to die, Nigel. That's why we have to keep coming back to a walk. My neck strap gave way. I need my neck strap. I'm sorry. So we had to, I was trying to get the neck strap back on while we're leaping and cavorting. And some gal came up behind me and stayed with me for a little while. I think she took pity on me. And she said, can I help you with that? As we're leaping and cavorting. So we got the neck strap back on. And through one of the belly deep sections of 50 yards or more, I said to the lady, you know, when they're like this, and I pointed at Nigel's withers, what's the best strategy? Do I just keep him with the group and try to make him learn that he just needs to stay with the group? Do I go in the front? Do I go in the back? What's your suggestion? Or do they get better? And she said, you know, it's been in my experience. She was an experienced rider. They don't. Just get him out by himself somewhere. Get him alone where he can't see any other horses. And at that very moment, she just took off, left me in the dust, and I never saw her again. It's like, get him by himself, and I'm not sticking with you, honey. You're a nut. So,
bye.
Goodbye.
And so, she only said that because she didn't want your thoroughbred that's acting like a complete fruitcake around the Arabs who finally settled down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I looked at my watch, and I'd been out for less than an hour. Oh, boy. So we got by ourselves. It was great. We got by ourselves. And he did settle down after about 15 minutes of being alone. We were able to pick up his trot, which is the trot that horses do when they're trotting as fast as they possibly can. That's Nigel's trot. So we're doing that, and everything's going really well for about 45 minutes. And then he starts looking behind him and slowing down, because there are other horses coming. And this is something new. I discovered that when he hears horses behind him, he wants to slow down until they pass him so he can pass them again.
He's in a race.
It's a game.
He's racing.
It's like, really?
Remember in the movie Seabiscuit when they were like, let him catch up and then let him go. Let him look it in the eye and then let him go. Yeah.
And that's what he wants to do, but we're going to be doing it for 6 hours.
No, you won't. So keep going. So move on. You've got the horse. He's calming down. They can't possibly do this for 25 miles. Can they?
Yes.
Oh,
well, and what I also discovered is that they do loops in endurance. You do like 12-mile loop or a 20-mile loop, and then you have to stop and get your vet checked out and stuff like that. So this is a 12-mile loop with 20 some odd horses on it. So we really are never completely out of sight for more than 15 or 20 minutes at a time. Because there's either a horse that's coming up behind us or we're gaining on a horse all the time. So it was pretty much a battle for 12 miles. It was not a steady ride. It was not a good educational ride. It was a battle ride. But we get back to the end of our loop and we pulse in and the vet checks him out. She said, okay, he's a little high, but he passes. A little bit sore on the right hind, so keep an eye on that. And a little for them, a little bit sore means they're reactive when they do the little thing where you run your fingers down across their butt and check for muscle soreness. And so, seeing as how we did approximately 6 miles of knee-deep water, not surprising. So we did that, and we cooled out. We went back to the horse trailer, and doesn't want to drink anything, doesn't want to eat anything, just wants to stare off into the distance at the horses galloping across the street. So I made the very difficult decision to say, you know, I don't think we need to do another 6 miles of knee-deep water because we're really not getting anything out of this. It's just a war, a battle of, you know, that horse needs to catch me so I can pass him. And that's not what our goal was. So
what was your goal?
Our goal was to go out and pick up a nice pace and try to do a reasonable pace for the majority of the ride. So that we weren't constantly going fast, slow, fast, slow, fast, slow, fast, slow, because it's endurance, not fast, slow. And that was not happening by any stretch, because when you go through knee-deep water for miles on end and the horse wants to go through the knee-deep water, that's asking the horse to get injured, because he's going to go until he breaks his legs. He's the thoroughbred. It's what he does. There's no saying to Nigel, you know, your muscles are getting sore and you need to slow down. He doesn't hear that. He hears, I need to keep going until we get to the finish line or we pass another horse. And that's one thing when the ground is flat or reasonable, but this was not either. This was the kind of ground that horses get injured on if they go too fast.
So now, I mean, obviously it sounds like you made a good decision for the footing and everything like that and the better of your horse, but I would love to encourage you to try it again because that attitude that he has will change. It will change.
I'll definitely do it again, but not that day. Not that day. Not a good day.
I mean, you saw those. Nigel was up to his belly. His girth was covered in mud. He was up to his belly in water. Those little Arabs, Nigel's big horse, those little Arabs were, they had to be up to the stirrups. I mean, it was,
yeah.
And they were coming in. I saw several of them bugged out too. It was just, there was water, lakes everywhere in people's pasture. We don't have any water on our farm. We have two ponds right now. So, you know, I think that was part of it. And I had gone over to see her, and I thought, I'm going to surprise her. I didn't tell her I was coming over, and I knew what time her halftime break was going to be. And I was expecting her to be all jolly and fun, and that was not the case. And then Nigel was not looking good. She even had the vet check him out. He just was not. He was all
horse lathered, yeah. Hair coming out of under
his helmet. He was just dehydrated. Nigel's also one of those horses that will not drink other water. So you have to try and bring as much water you can from home because he just will not drink other water.
He wouldn't even eat the grain soaked in somebody else's water.
He wouldn't even eat the sweet water. He wouldn't even drink the sweet water. Anything with that water from that farm, he wasn't going to touch it. And
well, do you practice with the sweet water at home?
He loves sweet water. He loves it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But not with that water. He didn't want that water.
His adrenaline was too high. He was like, nope. Yeah. That's why, let me tell you something. Yeah. Y'all endurance people are crazy.
I knew that was coming.
There is not one thing that sounded fun about your experience.
No, she didn't have a lot of fun, actually. She really
It wasn't our favorite ride, but we're going to go out and we're going to regroup and we're going to try it again.
You know what it's like, Jamie, to ride a horse that's been jigging for... Imagine riding a horse that's been jigging for 2.5 hours.
You know, that's at least, though, and you can use it as a training opportunity when you have good footing. Yeah. Because when the horse has been jigging, go. Just go. Yeah,
exactly.
Just keep trotting. Just keep trotting. I mean, that's the way you're going to want to fix a behavior like that anyway, is to put them to work. But when you don't have the right footing and you're having to worry about their tendons and ligaments and standing
I wasn't going to risk an injury. Just not worth it. No, no,
trust
no.
Me. from the girl who broke her horse while trotting in a straight line. Yeah, I get it. It sucks to not have that trained horse to ride. So just keep trying. And yeah, you made a good decision for the benefit of your horse, but that jigging horse, the best way to fix it is to send him to 25 miles, you know?
You would have. I think you would have finished it if it hadn't.
Yeah,
been
and the second loop that we
miles
did.
Miles of water.
Yeah, we had to go through that stuff again, and it's one thing to let a horse run that adrenaline out of their system on footing that's safe.
Yeah,
but you can't do it on unsafe footing like that. It's just not worth it.
Well, it sounds like to me what the endurance people need to understand is to not have the vet check by the trailers. You need to have that crap way far out so you have to get back on the ride home anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, ooh, do I get back on and go for another 12 miles or do I just get in my car? See, I would pick car.
Well, I'm glad the car was there, actually. She was not doing this. And Jennifer got out of bed a little stiff this morning, I will say.
Yeah. And it was very interesting, you know, that I've had time to ruminate on it a little bit. Just how deep-seated his need to pass everybody in sight is. Took him back to the trailer, like, okay, I'm just going to bag it. This is thrown in the towel time. And I wanted to take him back up to the vets and have him checked a second time before I trailered him home because he was really tucked up and looking like he had a little spasmodic calling going on. So I took him up there, and they check your horse as many times as you want. They will treat him as many times as you want. They're all like, it's all about the horse. And this is the horse standing kind of cramped up and looking unhappy at the trailer. But the minute he got out there to the vet where he could see the competition going on, completely different horse. The head was up. The ears were up. The dancing back started again. It's like, you know, he's just going to keep going till he's dropping. That's really, really, really deep-seated in him. More so than I thought it was.
You know the best way to fix your horse? Here's what I would do training opportunity wise is I would back him 25 miles. I'll be like, I'm gonna back up. Because how I fix jigging in the arena is I back them up 6 steps, drop the reins. If they want to like get all fired up, then let them get fired up for 3 steps and then back them up 6. And eventually they learn that, like teaching a horse to stand still.
What
stand
could
still.
Possibly go wrong with backing up for 25 miles?
I know, exactly. That'd be the way to make sure you have some good footing, and we'd back up 25 miles.
And you know what? This horse wouldn't even be tired.
But that's what it is. So look forward to chapter 2 of Jen's first 25 miler. There you go.
That would be actually Jen's second. So
okay, I have to do it just one last time this year.
I don't want to be that girl.
I knew you'd be so happy about that. All right, let's go to Leslie from Eventing and Horse Nation is here. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good Merry morning. Christmas. Last show before Merry Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
Yay.
Whoa.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. How many tiny little booties do you expect to get to anticipate under the Christmas tree?
Tiny little booties. Yeah.
let me give you some advice. If you want some cool baby Western stuff, send your friends to Cracker Barrel.
Oh, that's true. They do have a lot of that stuff.
That's where you get all the really cute cowboy stuff is at Cracker Barrel for your baby. So with that, I have to go and take my father to the Western Museum up in Oklahoma City. So good times.
Well, yeah, well, that's something new for you. That'll be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
We expect a full report on Wednesday, okay?
Yeah. So I will be at the Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Museum up in Oklahoma City if you need me.
Okay, thanks. Good. Well, we'll see you.
Have fun.
Leslie, love you, mean it. Mwah. Mwah, mwah.
See you, Jamie.
Bye. It's been your girl. Bye.
So, Leslie, how are you doing?
I'm good.
And how's Princess, the pony?
Princess is awesome. Yeah, we had to have a little talk with her at some point over the last couple months. That, you know, usually Princess is a sassy lady, and typically I'm very pro-sass.
Well, yeah, I mean, pets match their owners, right?
Yeah, but at this moment in my life, being about halfway through a pregnancy, I had to tell her that we had to put the sass on the back burner for a little while. So, and she said, okay, she's been actually really, really good. And I'm like, yeah, you're carting a little pregnant lady around now. You have to go around like a pony with a pregnant lady on your back. And
so all of that chill really worked then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. just shoot him up with an ace every time you're, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
Oh, that's not the conversation you had is with the needle.
No. Yeah, that was a joke, but she seems to have responded to our little heart to heart. So, all good.
Well, good. Terrific. Yeah. And I know that you guys always do over on Horse Nation, you always do a lot of holiday stuff when it comes to the holidays. And noticed that you were continuing your songs, writing songs.
Yes. Yeah. We always do Christmas carols every year, just a series of them. And recently, this is some good news. Horse Nation's editor, Kristen Kovach, is now she competed in the Retired Racehorse Project's Thoroughbred Makeover this year. And she is now going to work for them. She's still doing Horse Nation, but she's also taken up a position doing communications and social media for Retired Racehorse Project. She's such a champion of off-track thoroughbreds, and so it seems fitting that one of her Christmas carols this year, that she is a brand new world debut, is OTTB sung to the tune of O Christmas Tree.
Are you going to sing it for us? You haven't been banned. I banned Jamie from singing, but I haven't banned you yet.
I thought I was banned after my Frozen radiothon.
Well, yeah, but there was
improvisational moment.
So you're going to give it a shot? I can't sing at all. They never let me sing. So
okay, here we go. Okay. OTTB, OTTB, how lovely is thy movement. OTTB, OTTB, how graceful is your stride. Your racing days are over now. You'll jump a fence or work a cow. OTTB, OTTB, you're good at everything.
Very well done.
And it goes on and on. So just if you want, I will not subject you to the on and on, but if you would like to peruse the lyrics to the rest of the song, it's on Horse Nation.
That was very well done. You're not banned at all.
Not banned. I got my privileges back.
Yes, right. You do. You're good. Jamie would have insisted on singing the rest, right?
I would have let her.
So who wrote the article, Five Reasons Snow is Really Not a Bad Thing, and You Will Never Convince Me Otherwise?
This was
a few
also
people
Kristen.
Live in Florida would argue with this.
Yes, is also Kristen, who lives in New York, and I don't even know when it started snowing there, but it just seems like it starts snowing, and then that's her life. So she just rolls with it. She just rolls with it. Looks on the bright side, if there is a bright side. Since she will not see grass again until April. But so she wrote this piece. It's Five Reasons Snow is Not Really a Bad Thing, and You Will Never Convince Me Otherwise. and I'm like, okay, I can't wait to read this. What is she going to say? Because I don't know. I think I would lose my mind if I just was in.
Some of the auditors that live in Alaska are doing posts all the time now, and their snow is like up to the knees. I mean,
they're
out doing their horses in the snow. It's like no big deal. You know, they live in Alaska, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's dark all the time. There's no pictures with any light because it's Alaska. They only get like 3 hours of semi-light a day.
Crazy.
Can you imagine adding that to the snow, though? We're fortunate we still get daylight, but if you add just darkness all the time, how depressing would that be?
Yeah, at least with having daylight, you can take cute Instagram pictures of yourself riding in the snow. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but Alaska, no light. no Instagram pictures. What's well, the point even?
Exactly. So some of the things she said in this article is, I can ride in the snow and I can't ride in the mud. Yeah, riding in the mud sucks. And you That's get a lot true. Of mud in Tennessee, I bet.
We get a lot of mud, yeah.
And you don't get so much snow. You get a little bit every year, but not much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The occasional little dusting.
Yeah, you go a little bit of ways from you into the mountains and they got snow.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah. That is true.
My horses are happy living in the snow. That is true. Horses seem to like it. I mean, our horses always seem to like it more than we did. You know, and you see these pictures. Have you seen the pictures recently of all these horses completely covered in snow? I mean, completely covered. You can barely see the horse.
It's like, there's an easy reason to know that horses don't mind snow because they don't have opposable thumbs and they never have to shovel.
That's true. Snow. That's true.
Yeah.
And they have to clean up frozen poop either. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. You'd think it'd be kind of good for their legs too. You know, we ice their legs or do cold therapy on their legs after they've worked hard. It's like their feet and their legs are just getting iced all the time.
And they're working hard because it's harder to ride through the walk through the snow, yeah. right? So they're getting work and iced all at the same time. It's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, she does say number three, and I agree with this. There were times when we lived, especially on our big farm in Pennsylvania, riding in light snowfall is magical. Riding in a rain shower is miserable. She's absolutely right about that. We used to take the carriage out when it was just starting to snow down the lane. We had almost a mile long lane with trees and stuff. And it was so pretty.
That does sound magical.
Yep. And then the rest of the 24 inches would come, and then it's not so pretty anymore. I love this one. Riding in the snow forces me to slow down and enjoy the moment. Yeah, because you're worried about slipping all the time.
So. Yeah, I guess it cuts into your gallop set.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And then she says, it's pretty, people. Even the most adamant summer lover has to admit snow-covered fields are picturesque. And that is true. It is true. Right after it snows. And then 2 days later, when the snow all turns black and brown, it's ugly.
Yeah.
What happens.
It's just going to keep snowing, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Poor Kristen's like mad at me now because I'm picking apart every... This is by the person who, by the way, moved to Florida to get out of the snow. So,
right.
Yeah, take that into consideration.
No, I like it. Kristen's like, Kristen, great post. Everything about it is wrong.
Says the person lives in Tennessee.
No, it did make me a little like wistful. I was like, I wish I had a little snow.
Yeah, a little snow is good. And you know, in pretty Jennifer enjoys seeing the snow, and you just enjoy it until it to 12 snowstorm, and then it's not so enjoyable anymore.
Yeah, right.
So we had 13 inches of rain on Friday, and I know you got the same storm. Is mud up there just an issue? You had a lot of rain too.
Yeah, we got a lot of abscesses, a lot of rain rot happening. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of rain.
Yeah, I bet. But, I bet it's kind of miserable. Yeah. So what are you doing at Christmas?
Taking it a little easy, I guess. There's no horse shows to cover, not much going on.
Do you go to his family, your family, or
everybody? Most of everybody lives here in town, so
Do you have multiple Christmases? You have to go to multiple houses?
A couple. We'll do one with his family and then one with my family. But everyone's within just on opposite sides of town, so it's not even a big deal. It's pretty great.
That whole statement you just made does not happen in today's world anymore. Two people get married, live in the same town as both families. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
That's probably the exception to the rule. No, it used to be
I think it is. And I hear all these horror stories about people who've just got all these Christmases and they've just spent a week driving from place to place to place. And, let's just all get on Skype. You know, let's all just like
that's
Google
what we do.
Video chat this thing.
That's what we do. We go home about every 3 years to Pennsylvania for Christmas. Yeah. But otherwise, why would we leave 70 degrees to go home where it's 20?
They should be coming to you.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Well, they all do. Over the winter, we always get visitors. So when you live in Florida, you get visitors. There's no question about that. Well, thank you so much again for all of your support this year. It's been an interesting year for everybody in the horse world and outside the horse world, too. So, but we really appreciate you coming on every week. And this morning you said you'd be happy to come back and still do it. So we would love to have you. We love having you every Monday. And we love the relationship we have with Horse Nation and Eventing Nation. We do a lot of projects together all year long, too, so which is always fun. And Kristen, you know, I can't announce it yet, but we're going to have an announcement coming up that in a way involves Kristen, too. So,
yeah, careful, Glenn. Don't spill the beans.
That's all. That's all I'm saying. Just a tease. Just teasing. So that we're very excited about that, and we're putting the final touches on that one. So hopefully we can announce that when we come back at the beginning of January.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, Leslie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
All right. That's it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow with Pet Peeves and the Certified Horsemanship Association. Why is that so hard to say? You stumble over it every time.
At the beginning of every show.
You have me stumbling over it now. Christy will be here. And I'm actually going to be heading out to Denver for the WISA show, for the trade show out there, and be visiting with Christy. She lives out there. So that is going to be a lot of fun in January doing that. I just booked my tickets today. But she'll be here tomorrow, and then we'll be back for our call-in show. So don't forget that. We would love to hear from as many of you as possible on Wednesday. Call, just, I don't care if you just call to say Merry Christmas or Happy New Year or whatever. We would also love to hear if you had a favorite interview or a favorite show that we did this past year. We could talk about that or anything else you want to talk about. It's kind of a free-for-all. We do it every year. It's our holiday call-in show. So we would love to hear from you if you give us a call on Wednesday. And don't forget, Stable Scoop is back. I had a new story come out. There'll be another one out this week. We have some Stable Scoop now is just stories. It's 10 minutes long. It's just the rest of the scoop. And it's a story where you don't quite know what the punchline is until the end. And we have professional writers doing them. That's a whole lot of fun. If you haven't listened lately to Stable Scoop, check it out on the app or just look for Stable Scoop on any podcast player. It is a whole lot of fun. Also, there's another Heels Down coming out this week and all the other shows on the network. We're putting the final touches on them this week. So our last live show will be Wednesday morning, or Thursday morning, actually, with the Fox Hunting Show. So that'll be live as well. And then we'll be having some recorded shows for you all the way through to the new year. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jennifer. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you all tomorrow morning.